Here's one of our local advertisers to tell you why he loves K-High Radio.
I'm Fred Penny, managing partner of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Our law offices are located throughout California, and we have the opportunity to advertise across the state. We chose to advertise with K-High. Among our other locations, we see the advantage of reaching those who matter most, the local customers, through local radio on K-High, the voice of the foothills.
FM 104.5 K-High and AM 950 K-High. FM 104.5 K283 CM Auburn and AM 950 KAHI Auburn.
Is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny. Hour number one in the books on this, it is really coming down. Rainy Saturday morning here in outside our palatial studios. Boy, it's really coming down. Hope you have great weather in your neck of the woods. I mean, I'm rejoicing. This means I don't have to mow my lawn this afternoon. There is no way this is going to let up in time for that to happen for me.
You sound so disappointed about that.
Yeah, I love my lawnmower.
I'm just sick about this.
Yes, it breaks my heart. So, we had a case or no case in the first hour that dealt with the Rolling Stones. Love that. Denise, you raked up the points. What's our point total now?
I'm now ahead.
Okay.
Darn it.
I'm at 24.
You passed me.
Kyle's at 23. Todd's at 14, and Fred is at 10.
Wow. I mean, okay. All right. Yeah. If you win this one, maybe we'll lop off one of the 10 dinners that I'm already owed for.
It'll go against the balance.
Yes. It'll cut against the balance there.
Boy, that last dinner is going to be really good.
Yeah. So we talked about the Chad Daybell case for a little bit last hour. And we also, what other one did we talk about? Oh, the Arizona rancher. And the results there. Look, folks, if you missed any of our show and want to pick up the podcast usually drops. These shows drop as a podcast, usually by Sunday afternoon, by Monday at the latest. You can, and we're on all of the podcast streaming services. Or you can just go to our website, RadioLawTalk.com. Check out the previous episodes tab, and you can even search enter a search and find out if there's a topic that we talked about that you were interested in, and it should pop up for you. So that's what we've got here. Denise, are you ready to, do you have a canary with you? Are you ready to go spelunking into the mind of Cal Hunter? You always want to take a canary when you go in there, believe me.
So many have died.
Yes.
So many
you
have died.
You want to leave a bread trail.
Yes. Oh, you and your brother are leaving breadcrumbs. Would you like to come to my gingerbread house? I don't know why when I talked about spelunking in Cal's brain, I immediately turned into an old German woman. Und what are we going to Hansel and Gretel? Oh, you are so plump. Oh, yes. You make good thing on spigot. Cal.
All right, here we go. Let's do this instead.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Astral Watahoochee. Had a wealthy father, and formerly a healthy father, had being the operative word. As Mr. Watahoochee's life began winding down, Astral's dad wanted to give away some of his wealth to help people, he said. So he found a charity with a biblical name, and he decided he was going to give them a piece of land worth $1.5 million in Georgia. The charity gleefully took the property and immediately began making plans to sell it and spend the dough. But Astral had more plans. He said This property was not my dad's to give. You see, he'd already given it to us, we, his three children, and we're not going to let it go without a fight. So we're going to do everything we can to hang on to our property. The charity's response, too bad, kid. He gave us the deed, and so he gave us the property, so case or no case, and who might win? And Todd, you get to go first on the matter of Astral Wattahoochee in Georgia.
Got it. The name is still cracking
true
me
name,
up.
By the way.
True name, true Astral name, yeah. Wattahoochee.
Yep.
And it sounds like something on The Spy That Shagged Me.
Yes.
Okay.
What is the spy's name? My name is Astral Wattahoochee. Oh, really? I'm still an old German woman. Oh, that sounds very good. You're plumping there. Well, is this a case? So you threw something in there at the very end, and
yeah.
That was that Dad, Mr. Wattahoochee, gave the charity the deed. Did he give them? Did he quit claim or turn over a deed to the charity? Or were you just throwing that one in? Just kind of. That was the charity claim.
That's what the story
okay.
says. Yeah.
So, and the reason why I raise this is because, look, in order for Astral's the daughter,
the son,
or the son, right. Son. Sorry, in order for Astral to project this. Sorry, see what I did there, Astral projection.
Yeah, he never got made fun of in school.
No, never. He's not in my class. Look, in order for him and his siblings to perfect their claim, they would have to show not only that Dad gave this to us, but there's some sort of conveyance that went along with it. Was it ever recorded? Show me a document saying that this goes to you. If there was nothing recorded, it's going to be very difficult for them to prove that. And it really seems like it would be easy to show if there was something recorded, some conveyance that was given to them. If, however, it was, I'm going to leave this to you, and then is superseded by a subsequent, more recent time will, saying, no, I'm giving it to the charity, well, then the kids are out of luck. And if the deed was actually given to the charity, then the kids are really out of luck. And because of all of this, I would say no case.
All right, fair enough. That's a long way to get there. Denise, what do you think about the matter of Astral Wattahoochee and the desirable dirt?
Well, I was thinking about all the things the kids at school teased him about.
Oh, boy.
You know, Astro without a T.
Oh, of course. You know the poor kid. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
At least
I
he had daddy's
sorry.
Dirt.
I felt sorry for him.
Yeah, me
you
too.
Know, and his dad's now trying to give away the property that should be his.
Yeah.
And his siblings. I just don't know. Okay, I'm going to give Cal a chance, and I'm going to say this is not a case.
Oh, you're throwing a bone to the Calster there.
I am, because it's a story. It's a really good story, but it's just not a case.
Well, all I can say is thank you, Denise Dirks. It is, in fact, a case, and here's the deal. At a January motion, attorneys established a timeline of ownership. In 2021, the elder Wattahoochee deeded the property, including a house, a 19-acre boat dock on Lake Lanier, and an additional undetermined structure, unpermitted, to an LLC he had created. Gave that to his son, that Astral had created the LLC. He gave it to the son's LLC. Then gave him a quit claim deed to the property. But then later, he gave it to the biblical Isaiah charity in the form of a formal deed. So now, this is in fact the case, but it is as of yet undetermined.
Oh, so they both have dueling deeds.
Correct. They're fighting over pieces of paper in court. So that's what we know.
So, Cal, you get 1 point.
I'll take
no,
one point.
No, he gets four.
Why? He gets 2 points.
He gets 2 points, but it's a double Saturday.
Well, no, he gets 2 points because when you say it's a case, you get a point because it's a case, and you get a point for the outcome. There is no outcome in this case.
Correct. That's 2 points is fine. That's fine. That's what I deserve. That's fine. Now, next hour, a matter of a troubleshot troubleshooter. I'll explain what that means next hour on Radio Law Talk on Case or No Case. In the meantime, Todd and Denise have got so much stuff to talk about. I think we probably ought to start worrying about getting to that. What's coming up next after the segment, Don?
Well, we got to catch up on the Harvey Weinstein fiasco. And, oh, well, not fiasco. We're going to talk about what some of the judges focused on during oral arguments and in their decision in Weinstein, what effect that decision is going to have on appeals pending in his California case. We've also got other stuff to get to. Going back to Idaho, Cal.
Yay.
More craziness up in Idaho. Don't go away.
Segment B of Hour 2 is coming up after we take a quick break right here on Radio Law Talk. Stay tuned. There's much, much more coming up.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. And other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Cut Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cutter shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's. The Parkinson's Foundation knows that the disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them.
If you or someone you know is living with Parkinson's, a neurological disease that affects movement, we understand that it can be difficult to know where to find help.
If you have questions, the Parkinson's Foundation has answers. Answers for everyone in the fight.
We can help you understand the disease.
Help you find expert care and local support.
Give you tips for living a better life.
And share the latest research.
Find your answers and join us in the fight against Parkinson's.
To learn more, please go to Parkinson.org.
Or call 1-800-473-4636.
That's 1-800-473-4636. The Parkinson's Foundation.
Better lives together.
As we read about another teenager suicide, someone is eating lunch alone. As we mourn the loss of yet another young life, someone just found their parents' unsecured gun. As we debate what's happening to our children, someone is posting a letter saying goodbye. Knowing the signs is the best way to prevent teen suicide. Learn the signs at sandyhookpromise.org.
This is Stephen Hill. Catch Hearts of Space, Sunday nights at 8, here on the all-new FM 104.5 and AM 950 K-High. The same voice of the foothills, more powerful than ever.
770.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Showtime.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
And we are back. Harvey Weinstein. Golly, you know, you ever take a step back and take a look at how Harvey Weinstein has affected all of our lives, not just because of what he's charged with, what he was convicted of? Go ahead and take a look at, you know, just bring up IMDb and type in his name and look at the number of movies he was executive producer of. I believe Meryl Streep once referred to him as a god in Hollywood because of the amount of power and control he had. I mean, he and his production company, they were the gatekeepers of so many movies that were made. You shudder to think of how many movies that would have been good movies that he didn't green light, that never saw the light of day because his company may have bought the rights to the screenplay and then just buried it and didn't release it. How many actors' careers has he made? How many has he torpedoed? A lot of allegations, a lot of people claiming that Julie Ormond, for example, that she adversely affected his career. Ashley Judd claims that he affected her career and kept her from, you know, seeing the success, more success than she already had seen in her career at this time. So you have all of that as the backdrop, and then the effect of the charges as a result of the Me Too movement and the trials that he's faced and now his subsequent imprisonment, and just the effect, the ripple effect that has had, for good or bad, throughout the legal community and society. And, you know, here he is back in the news again. Back in the news again, and for reasons that will continue to affect the manner in which sexual assault cases are tried and the type of evidence that judges will allow in, at least in the state of New York. Because what happened, it was last week, a little over a week ago, New York Supreme Court released their decision on his trial, and it was a 4-3 decision overturning the conviction, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what were the primary bases that they were looking at?
Well, the trial judge allowed testimony in about prior assaults, and they were not tried previously. He wasn't charged with them previously, and they've tried to use it to basically establish a pattern of conduct on behalf of Harvey.
That's right.
And the interesting thing is, that was against New York law. I mean, New York does not have an exception that allows that type of evidence to come in. And other states do, however.
That's true. They don't. So here's the difference, okay? And we'll talk about New York state law, and a lot of states are like this. They don't let the evidence come in to prove what's called character. You know, if you did it, you're the type of person that would do this always, right? New York doesn't allow that. What they allow is that evidence to come in if it's part of your common plan or scheme. Now let's take a case, you know, that where it would be, let's say a child was involved. Well, if the evidence that would come in shows the grooming patterns and you know, it starts with the ice cream and then leads to this and then leads to this and you have all these victims, that's what you would need to show. This is the modus operandi. This is how this person. So when the victims that are in this case say he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this, and it led to a sexual assault, the evidence would show that, yep, that's the way he always does it, his M.O., and we see that in this others. And that's a basis by which is admissible. It's not admissible, essentially, for the proposition that, yeah, he was a creep, he did it before, he probably did it this time. And that is the risk that you run. That's what the judges were weighing. Like, look, it's one thing if you show an M.O., but where do you draw the line, and how do you ensure that the jurors that hear all of this evidence don't just come away thinking, oh, yeah, you know what, he's a creep. He did it. He sexually assaulted all these other ones, so all these other women. So he probably did it this time with these women that are here. Where do you draw that line? And the court said, yeah, you went too far. But there was I'll tell you, I missed this. There was another issue that was raised by the judges. And this was one that they found was even more egregious, which is, okay, you bring in all of this other evidence that's not part of the charge defense, but the trial judge said, oh, by the way, if Harvey Weinstein takes the stand to testify in his own defense, I'm going to allow the prosecution to cross-examine him about all of those other instances that show the MO and all of that. And
that probably kept him from testifying.
He made the decision, I'm not going to testify. And that was where the justices of the Supreme Court said, okay, we certainly question whether or not too much evidence was let in or not let in. And maybe that's a sort of a debate as to whether or not that it was too much or not enough evidence. But what was absolutely wrong was the decision by the judge that allowed Weinstein, if he took the stand, to be cross-examined about all of that stuff. And so that was the second aspect of it that just sealed the deal for this overturning of this conviction. And I never caught that earlier when we were reviewing evidence and things like that, because so much focus was on whether or not the evidence could come in that I kind of had missed the fact that the judge said he could be cross-examined on
it. Right, which is basically keeping evidence out.
That's right.
Without it being sought to be introduced, that's already being told it's going to be kept out.
Yeah, and so, you know, that was another reason. When we come back, we'll talk about what effect this has on his California appeals cases moving forward. Don't go away, and then we'll get into the Idaho case with Brian Koberger, what's going on up in Cal's former backyard.
Former being the key word. We'll be back with much more on Radio Law Talk on this great radio station. You're listening to us on and on RadioLawTalk.com. If you're listening to us on podcast, thank you. It's available on every major platform and all at no charge. We like to take care of our listeners, and we do at Radio Law Talk. We'll be back.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-721-4869. 800-721-4869. That's 800-721-4869.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-399-3691. 800-399-3691. 800-399-3691. That's 800-399.
Are you happy and want to keep it that way? Well, let's find out what happy really is on Pop Talk. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Can we live to 100 and in good shape? Got a renowned doctor who says we can. And then it's Country Music Hall of Famer Lacey J. Dalton, who keeps on singing and performing. What keeps her going? Let's talk things out on Pop Talk, 5 to 7 a.m. Saturday and 9 to 11 p.m. Sunday, or 24/7 at khi.com. Just click on Listen, and it's all for your life.
Auburn's department store is McCullough's in the Auburn Town Center. McCullough's carries all the name brand products you're looking for. Right now, you'll find deals on Hydro Flask, just right for spring and summer. Women's and men's t-shirts by Life is Good, Old Guys Rule, and Laid Back. And men's Hawaiian-made Aloha shirts, just right for the warmer weather. Everything you need is all in one store, right here in Auburn. McCullough's Department Store in the Auburn Town Center, right off of Elm.
Placer Farm Supply, the Big Red Barn on Highway 80 in Newcastle. With the new year, it's time to spray the weeds, lay down the fertilizer, and soon time to plant the pastures, fix or replace the fence. Ever hear the term, good fences make great neighbors? Well, it's true. Bring your plan to Placer Farm Supply, and our knowledgeable staff will get you started. We've got your critters covered, too, from livestock and poultry to cat and dog. We can feed them all. Placer Farm Supply, the Big Red Barn on Highway 80 in Newcastle. Come see us for all your critter and farming and ranching needs.
2023, for many people, and especially small businesses, it was a year to put in your rearview mirror. For Homer Insurance, it was a time to build relationships, and right now to say thank you for the many businesses that put their trust and faith in our agency. At Homer, we strive to be the very best at what we do, and that means saving you money by working with the brightest and best insurance companies in America. Please, if you haven't called us yet, call today and let us show you why we make a difference every day to small businesses all over the foothills. Bonds, general liability, workman's comp, auto, home, and life. Give us just a few minutes and see the thousands you can save. Call 916-339-7070 and take a walk back in time. We actually answer every call live. That number again is 916-339-7070.
Listen to the Garden Goddesses Saturday morning at 8 a.m. here on the Voice of the Foothills.
If you want to be kept and the plant know, join us on our radio show, The Garden Goddesses, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. on the one and only KHI Radio, AM 950, FM 104.5, the Voice of the Foothills. Call in to win a prize from Green Acres Nursery and Supply.
1-45-37.
Excuse me, hairnet. Yeah, need a little of the quinoa salad, please. And throw a couple extra cranny bees on top, if you could. And kind of need you to hurry up, Chief. Chop, chop. Next.
Are you people out of your mind?
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
Went into the break. We were talking about Harvey Weinstein and the effect of the New York case. And the New York case being, the conviction being overturned because of improper rulings by the judge as deemed by the New York Supreme Court. And so now he's going to get a new trial in New York on those charges. And to wrap that up, the important thing about this decision is that the questions that were raised by the judges. So, for example, one of the judges essentially said, so the prosecution was arguing to the Supreme Court, look, we need this evidence so that we can explain to the jury the unique situation that somebody finds themselves in when a person of power like Harvey Weinstein essentially is withholding help if desires for sexual favors are not granted, right? And one of the justices pointed out, said, I don't know what's unique about that. What is unique about a powerful man expecting sex in return for favors? Essentially, her implication is, that's been going on since the beginning of time, What's unique about that? And that was the question that the judge posed to the prosecutor on appeal. Explain it to me, because you have to show that it's unique in order to justify any of this evidence even coming in, because you're arguing that the average juror would not be able to understand that quid pro quo as it relates to these individuals that led to the sexual assault. Explain to me why that's unique. And the prosecutor had a difficult time explaining that. And so, and that was one of the swing votes. The judge that asked that question was the one that was ultimately the swing vote. She, female, was a swing vote and decided that, yeah, that evidence was too much. It piled on. And she was the one that decided to overturn it. And you know, I think that that's an important question, because that's the question that every trial going forward is going to be the one that the prosecutor is going to have to answer to every trial judge that now knows to ask and really inquire about this. Say, all right, I'm not saying you can't bring in the evidence. You just have to meet this bar of why it's unique to bring it in. And now the prosecutors know what to prepare for when they get to trial so that they can get that kind of evidence in if they feel they need it, right? And that's it. That was a key question there that will guide trial courts moving forward in the state of New York for the introduction of that kind of evidence, right? So that is the state of New York, but he's got appeals in California, right, Denise?
Yes.
Okay. And so the question here is, what effect do you think the trial judge or the Supreme Court decision in New York will have on the appeals in the state of California? That's a lot of questions that folks are asking as it results to this. Is the appeals court now going to go, well, you know, hey, if New York overturned it, then California should overturn it as well, right? Because a lot of the same evidence was introduced in the California trial.
Well, I'm sure Weinstein will be thinking that, but can one court in a state take a precedential ruling from another state and apply it in their state?
It depends.
On what?
That is a lawyer answer.
Yes, it depends. it's not like a precedent like you would if it's your state Supreme Court to your Court of Appeals and within the state itself. But let's say that a state has never addressed that issue before. And so this is the first time on appeal or up in the own state Supreme Court to address that issue. They could look at other states and how they address that issue, not for purposes of precedence, but for purposes of what's the word I'm looking for? Persuasion.
Yes.
So it could be persuasive law.
It could.
Not necessarily precedential.
Here's one big hurdle to using anything out of the state of New York to impact the state of California. Now, you said something early that was absolutely true. In the state of New York, there's no way to bring this evidence in unless you're trying to show what? M.O.
Yeah, yes, and unusualness.
Yes, the unusual, the modus operandi.
Right.
In the state of California, and that's the way that the evidence code is set up in the state of New York.
Yes.
California is one of a small handful of states that has a different law as it relates to sex. We call them sex cases, any form of sexual assault and domestic violence. And essentially, the law is the same as it relates to pretty much all types of evidence, you know, under Evidence Code Section 1101 of the California Evidence Code. Evidence is limited to MO, modus operandi, that kind of evidence. As a general rule, you can't try somebody because of their character. You can't say they've got a propensity to do this. You can't do any of that. You can only allow that kind of evidence in if it's necessary to show the modus operandi, how they go about grooming somebody, if it's what their common pattern is. But under 1108 of the evidence code, there's an exception carved out. 1108 of the evidence code says, essentially, but when it comes to sex cases, you can introduce, the prohibition under 1101 doesn't apply, so the offenses, the prior offenses, can come in for the very purpose of showing propensity. Essentially allowing a juror to look at it and say, well, if he did it then, he probably did it now. That's 1108 of the evidence code. And
or if he did it then, it's more likely that he did it now.
They can use it for they can use it for what's called propensity evidence. And the same thing is true under 1109 when it comes to domestic violence. Prior acts can come in to show that the individual had a propensity to do something like this.
Yes.
That's not allowable in New York, but it is allowable in
California.
So the reason why the New York decision was all about, how are you going to let this evidence in without the jury viewing it as propensity evidence? And that's why it doesn't apply in California, because in California, it's like, yeah, well, the jury's going to use it as propensity evidence. And the response is, yeah, so? 1108 says they can. It's allowable for that. And so it's not going to have much of an impact on the California case.
Do you know what the other grounds of appeal were that he appealed it on?
What were you thinking in mind?
I don't know, like ineffective counsel or...
Well, yeah, he's probably, ineffective assistant of counsel is like the grab-all of all...
right.
You know, it allows a reviewing court to look at everything counsel did and then say, oh, yeah, well, if your attorney had only done this, you probably wouldn't be, you know, making license plates for the rest of your life, so we'll give you a new trial. I don't know all of the other grounds that he had for appeal. Now, that doesn't mean...
But there wasn't a lot more evidence done in the California case either. It was really limited, more limited than it was in New York.
It was.
But there were more plaintiffs.
That's true.
There were more, not plaintiffs, but victims.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that in California, that doesn't mean that the court has to be... It can't be concerned about prosecutors piling on with the prior acts evidence. Because, I mean, look, if the only evidence you had that the defendant sexually assaulted person A was the fact that they were in the same room together for 3 hours, right? And then you had all of this prior acts evidence of everything he did, I think the court would say, yeah, you don't have any evidence to support your prior thing, so I'm not going to let a jury say, look, if he did it all this other times before, the fact that he was with somebody alone for 2 hours with no other evidence means he probably did it this time. No, that's not going to come in. That's an extreme example. But the court still has to make sure that the jury ultimately is finding that, or that the judges make sure that the jury is ultimately determining guilt or innocence based upon the core facts that support this charge, in addition to the propensity, not solely because of propensity. So.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to show much, but we're headed to break. When we come back, we'll talk about Brian Koberger in Idaho, who is facing murder charges up there, and a prosecution described as throwing a temper tantrum in court. You don't see that happen all too often, but usually that means the defense is getting under their skin. So we'll see what's going on there. Don't go away.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk with Todd Kuenin and Denise Dirks, and there's much more coming right up. All you have to do is stay tuned, and it's in your ear, absolutely free. So don't go away.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
Best thing about Quick Cut Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
Man, I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take your car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quack, car wash. They'll have you looking sharper. Come on.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-601-8850. 800-601-8850. 800-601-8850. That's 800-601-8850.
The hosts of the Crossroads radio program invite you to join them Sunday mornings from 9 till 10 as they explore different subjects of the Bible and the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Each Sunday, Wesley Smith and Pastor Buddy Harper help you discover answers that are tested and proven with strict biblical conclusions. Music during the show features the group Jordan to Canaan. That's Crossroads, Sunday mornings 9 till 10, right here on K-High, the voice of the foothills.
Because K-High cares. Here's another K-High Community Bulletin Board.
The American Cancer Society Discovery Shop needs your donations of new and gently used merchandise. Items include clothing, jewelry, bric-a-brac, home decor, and more. Donations are tax deductible and support cancer patients locally and nationwide. They also need volunteers daily. The Discovery Shop is located at 2376 Grass Valley Highway in Auburn. For more information, call 530-888-7434.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle or forget extra diapers. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never, ever become a minivan mom. So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Martha Barnett.
And I'm Grant Barrett.
We're hosts of Away With Words, a weekly show about language.
We take your calls from anywhere in the country.
And from outside the country, too.
About anything and everything related to communication.
It's a show about speaking and writing and why we say the things we do.
It's also a show about history, family, and culture.
Satisfy your linguistic curiosity Saturdays and Sundays at 7 p.m. on the Voice of the Foothills, AM 950, K-High.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
They're all just making up stuff that he's saying, right?
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
We are back. Sorry, that was my... Cal, I think we need WD-40 here in the
room. I've got to put some on the old mic stands, don't we, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of...
I think they sound pretty good.
Yeah, well, they do, they do. Idaho. Back to Idaho. Really? Back to the land of... What did you describe it? Spiritual revival, Cal?
Spiritual revival and famous potatoes.
Okay, and famous potatoes. All right.
Yes.
And so you got...
When I did radio in Idaho at a station in Pocatello, we called our top 10 countdown the Spuds of the Week, just for fun.
I made a big joke to my person in my office. She's vegan. She doesn't eat anything with eyes, is what she said.
Uh-oh.
And I told her, well, then you can't eat potatoes anymore.
Exactly. I
waited like 3 days before I told her that because I wanted to save it for the right moment.
As you were munching on some fries.
She doesn't eat anything with eyes?
Yes.
Yams, potatoes.
Okay. Mm. All right. Well, the eyes have it. So,
honeybees.
Brian Koberger.
Wow.
He is the, University of Washington PhD grad a PhD candidate in, was it criminal forensics?
Criminology, yeah.
Criminology, who is accused of murdering the University of Washington in Pullman, Washington, accused of murdering the four college students who were over in Moscow, Idaho at, University of Idaho?
By the way, as an Idahoan, I will just say this one more time. In Idaho, in Russia, it's Moscow. In Idaho, it's Moscow. Moscow, Idaho. I'm just putting that
out there.
It's
kind of like Medford versus Mudford.
Right. So just remember there's a long O on Moscow, Idaho.
Moscow.
All right.
FYI. Not that it matters. I'm just passing it along. I don't want people to say Cal says he's a native and he doesn't have any bona fides on Moscow. So there you have it.
All right.
All right.
So over in Moscow.
hey!
All right, in Moscow, Idaho, you got this death. And right now, the defense has put forth what they're calling an alibi defense. Now, when this first made headlines, alibi defense. If I said alibi defense, Cal, first blush, alibi defense, what are you thinking?
Alibi means I've got a good story. That means I could not possibly have done the deed because my story puts me away from the scene.
And as evidence of the alibi, what is it? I mean, what would be the best way to prove an alibi defense? By what?
Well, by cell phone location, for example.
Just before that.
Yeah.
I mean, what would be the best way?
Eyewitness testimony.
Yes,
eyewitness testimony that he wasn't there.
Somebody's seen me.
He couldn't have been there. He was with me in Florida that day.
Yes.
Right. He was with me in Florida. I remember growing up, there was a bar that we used to have to pass all the time. My mom would take me to the doctor to get allergy shots, and every time we'd go by, we'd pass this one bar, and it was called the Alibi.
Yeah, I know that.
And it was, the alibi was like, well, I had no idea what it meant as a kid, but later on, I'm like, oh, it's pretty cool. At any given time, you know that bartender, oh, yeah, John's here. Oh, he can't come to the phone right now. He's playing darts. He's in the bathroom, you know.
And ironically, in Idaho, one of the most famous bars in a university town was called the Library.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
I was at the library.
Didn't we have one across from the historic courthouse called the... It was a bar called the Library.
See, there you go.
I think so.
The perfect alibi is the Library.
Yeah.
But, so alibi defense, that sort of speaks to somebody would be able to put you somewhere else at the time. So when we heard this, we think, oh, okay, somebody's going to go forward and let us know where he is. Well, here is his quote-unquote alibi defense, and that is, hey, I was out driving around looking at the stars, and claims, although he hasn't turned over any evidence, claims that he has cell phone tower evidence showing that his phone was pinging off of towers in areas to support that he was in, was it the Wawa Thai or Wawa Wee Park, that he was somewhere else than in Moscow, Idaho at the time of the murders, right? And
yeah, that's what he's claiming, but have we seen the evidence yet?
Okay, so... When an alibi, though, in the state of Idaho sort of implicitly insinuates that there will be a person that will be able to say where you were at and what you were doing. And right now the prosecution has been jumping up and down because the defense hasn't turned that over. He hasn't turned any of that information over. And what's more... is the prosecution is arguing that because the defense hasn't met their timelines for turning it over, that they shouldn't be able to present any evidence to support this alibi defense when the case goes to trial.
Yeah, specifically they're trying to fight the defense experts on cell phone evidence, keeping him out.
Yeah, and so let me read something to you. This is... the responsibility of the defense when they give, quote, notice of an alibi defense. This comes from the section 19-519 of the Idaho Code. And it says, quote, at any time after arraignment before a magistrate upon a complaint, ding, 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 keyword, complaint, and upon written demand of the prosecuting attorney, the defendant shall serve within 10 days or at such different time as the court may direct, a written notice of his intention to offer a defense of alibi. And such notice shall state the specific place or places that the defendant claims to have been at the time of the alleged offense, and the names and addresses of the witnesses upon whom he intends to rely on to establish the alibi, right? And right now, the prosecution is saying, we've asked for this information for the last 8-10 months, and the defense hasn't turned anything over. Judge, they were supposed to turn it over within 10 days of our request. And judge, later on in that same section, it says the court can exclude that evidence if they don't turn it over. Now, do you remember that word that I said to focus on? That word, that key word there?
Complaint.
Complaint. Do you see why that's a problem using this code in this case? This case didn't proceed by way of a complaint. This case proceeded by way of an indictment. So a defense can argue, look, this thing shouldn't even apply. This is an indictment case, not a complaint case. If the legislature wanted this to apply to indictments, they could have. They've chosen not to. But the real red herring in all of this is calling it an alibi to begin with. Jury instruction for Idaho. Jury instruction 1502 says the defendant in this case has introduced evidence tending to show that the defendant was not present at the time and place of the commission of the alleged offense. And so that is, and if you believe that, you can find him not guilty. But this is what the committee on the commission that creates these jury instructions has said. The committee recommends that no alibi instruction ever be given. The purpose of the alibi is to create reasonable doubt as to whether a defendant who has committed the crime, whether the defendant has committed the crime that was charged. And then they point out, look, the burden of proof is on the prosecution to prove beyond a reasonable doubt all of the elements of the offense for which the defendant would have to be present to commit. An alibi defense, all that does is tend to show that the prosecution hasn't proved one of their elements, which is the defendant was the one there who did it. You don't need to call it an alibi defense. It's no alibi. Just present your evidence tending to show that you weren't there, and the whole thing goes away, and this whole red herring about whether or not the court can restrict and limit evidence and all of that. The defense right now is making the prosecution jump through, spend all this time jumping through all these hoops. They've laid a trap for him, and the prosecution is falling for it, lock, stock, and barrel. Do you honestly think in a death penalty case that the court will prevent a defendant from presenting evidence showing he wasn't at the scene of the crime,
no way,
whether he called it an alibi defense or not?
No way.
So what are they fighting for?
For nothing. Why are they
for
spinning
nothing.
Their wheels? What's the
yeah.
point?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's undermining the prosecution's strong evidence of cell tower evidence as well. That's what I think.
That's right. Wow. So, that's what's going on in Idaho. We come back for our third hour. We'll cover more. Don't go away.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk, and Radio Law Talk will proceed after we break away for the top of the hour. We'll be back at 6 minutes after on many great radio stations and on RadioLawTalk.com where we stream live. So, we'll be back with that. Don't go away.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.